Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
And welcome to another episode of Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And welcome back to the podcast. It is the end of February. I was about to say March.
I know.
You heard that right. It's the end of February. So Rira, how are you dealing with your Olympic hangover?
It's not really a hangover because in like a week and a half, the World Figure Skating Championships are going to be on.
Wait, there's still another championship?
Yeah, that's like the...
Isn't the Olympics the World Championship for the year?
No, there's the World Championships and that's the end of the season until like May or August.
So Nathan Chen still has a chance to win a World Championship in 2018. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but...
You don't think he has what it takes to beat your boy?
I mean, I'm pretty sure he'll be on the podium,
but your boy?
But my boy, my king Yuzuru, I don't know if he's competing at Worlds because he's still injured.
I don't know if you guys have seen Rira's Twitter handle lately, but she has created an altar in honor of... Yuzuru Hanyu.
I changed it recently, so it's not that anymore.
The Winnie the Pooh guy is how I refer to him as.
Yeah. I was a little bit sad that my queen Yavenia didn't win gold, but you know what? It was just like a 1 point difference, so I'm not super torn up about it.
Yeah, the commentators are really playing up that narrative of like the rivalry and the...
They have the same coach. They're rink mates. They're friends. Like, I don't understand this narrative of them being like in a cat fight together because that's totally not what their relationship is.
I did love that they replaced Katie Kirk and other guy with Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir for the closing ceremony.
I was so mad about that.
Really?
I really was. Like, I was so annoyed that... They kept commenting at like the most like I'm trying to enjoy the performance.
It was better than the opening ceremony. The opening ceremony, they were just
trying
to. I didn't
watch the opening ceremony.
Like they were like Katie Kirk, they were just like listening up, this represents this from Korea because this Korean.
But Tara and Johnny did the exact same thing though, but only like with a more sarcastic tone, which seemed really disrespectful to me.
Oh.
I don't know. And like at one point they were like, wow, they really love K-pop. And I'm like, it's pop music in Korea. Like, of course they like their own music.
Yeah, I guess.
There were a lot of parts in the closing ceremony that I was not happy with, which is why I usually skip them when I watch the Olympics.
They're very excited about the panda, though.
From the Chinese. They also kept saying Chinese New Year, and I'm like, Lunar New Year,
yeah.
Lunar New Year. You're not in China. Like, come on.
I think this is a new thing for white people. It's like the difference between Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year, because for the longest time, Asians were all Chinese people to them. Now they had to think about other Asian ethnicities.
I was really after the short program, Nathan Chen, like, you know, he was in 17th place and a lot of people were like, well, they're like, he's not getting a medal and he's never going to get back up. And I remember Angry Asian Man Phil tweeted, hey, come at me. Like, if you're going to attack my boy. I don't remember the exact tweet, but that was like the tone behind it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, like, come on. Like, at the Sochi Olympics, there was Mao Asada. She was, like, in, what, 16th place after her really bad short program, and then she jumped to, like, 6th place. Like, honestly, it's not about the medal at that point. It's about, like, giving a good performance and not giving up.
I mean, that's the thing, right? When people think about sports, they only really, most people, like, especially like the quote-unquote bandwagoners, only care if you're winning. And if you're losing, they will take any opportunity to tear you down, especially if you're a minority, because, or someone who had to, like, someone who isn't like the traditional favorite, right?
Yeah. I mean, Nathan Chen, like, he's only been skating in the senior level for like 2 years. So he's very, very young. So the fact that people were like, oh, he's a has-been, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, he just started his career.
He's only going to get better. He's probably going to do, like, what is a five version of a quad? Like, the fiver. He's going to do the first fiver.
Well, no one has landed or even attempted a quad axel yet. So maybe. I don't know. There's like this one Russian girl in the junior bracket who is able to do quads.
I feel like a quad axle will just, like, that was when your leg would just break. Like,
yeah.
That is going to, yeah. That's like Blades of Glory style, like, gruesome injury.
Okay, I think that's enough skating talk. I feel like I've been talking only about skating past 3 episodes.
This has been your Books and Boba Olympic Minute. Seriously, next year or in 4 years, we just need a separate, like, special edition podcast, daily updates from Reader You about the Olympics.
We should add Lily to it, because she and I were, like, tweeting the entire time. We're like, what just happened?
I'm excited it's going to be in China. Hopefully they get their, you know, air and traffic situation cleared up by then. But yeah, they got 4 years.
Somehow.
If anyone can do
it. I'm skeptical.
Well, at the very least, it won't be like a Sochi or Rio style disaster. But yeah, we're here to talk about our February book club pick, Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too, by Jomny Sun. This is a picture book written and illustrated by Jomny Sun. He is telling the story of his Twitter persona, the alien.
Yes.
Yeah. Needless to say, we will be spoiling the book.
I don't know if there's anything we can really spoil, because... yeah, it's a graphic novel or a picture book, like Marvin said. So this book really doesn't have like a heavy plot to it. Yeah. So there's not much for us to spoil.
But if you would like to read the book before listening to us talk about it, now is your chance.
I'm surprised that the back cover doesn't have Lin-Manuel Miranda's comment about it.
This one does.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mine doesn't. Mine has Joss Whedon, and I want to cover that up.
Oh, I have Lin-Manuel Miranda. I think mine's was written after Joss Whedon's Fall from Grace.
Oh.
I don't know. Let's check the... Let me check the publishing... Is there a...
Wait.
...edition thing here? Well, anyways.
Yeah, anyways.
Mine's is obviously the superior copy.
Yeah, it is. I won't argue with that. I kind of want to buy a second one so I can, like, color in it.
You can color it in that one.
No, I must have a pristine copy.
And on that note, if you're wondering where the news and book releases section of this podcast is, we've decided to save that for the mid-month episode in March. So watch out for that. But let's get into it. So Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too is about...
Here's the unforgettable story of Jomny, an alien sent to study Earth. Always feeling apart, even among the other aliens, Jomny feels at home for the first time among the creatures of Earth. The characters are unique and inventive. A bear is tired of other creatures running in fear. An egg struggles to decide what to hatch into. A puppy is unable to express its true feelings. Bees think long and hard about what love means. Birds try to eat the sun. Nothingness questions its own existence. A ghost comes to terms with dying. And an introverted hedgehog slowly lets Jomny see its artistic insecurities. At the same time, Jomny's curious presence allows these characters to open up in ways they were never able to before, revealing the power of somebody who is just there to listen. Through the story of a lost, lonely, and confused alien finding friendship, acceptance, and love among the animals and planets of Earth, we will all learn how to be a little more human.
You know, I'm looking at my back cover, and I do have the Joss Whedon quote.
It's oh, just I do. I bottom. Do have the Lin-Manuel Miranda. I looked at the top. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
my eyes didn't go up there. It just was not at eye level.
Anyways, I was talking to this with Rira before the podcast, and I don't know how to start talking about this book. Well, I mean, first impressions is it was really good. I liked it. I read it in like a day.
I finished it in like 20 minutes, and then like I took a break for a while, and then I went back and read it the second time because I was wondering if all the feelings that I had reading it the first time, like I wonder if it was like a one hit thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I read it again, and actually it like all the feels hit me harder the second time because I think I absorbed it a little bit more and took my time more.
It's interesting how Jomny is able to comment on a lot of very human emotions, thoughts, behaviors through the eyes of these animal companions that Jomny, the alien, meets. I mean, there's so many characters, and they all have their own issues. I mean, you know, whether or not you want to be spoiled, like that whole like book jacket description pretty much spoiled every single plot point in the in the book. But it's still worth like taking a look at.
Yeah, I heard that this book is like maybe like a third of it is from his tweets, but everything else is new material. So for the people out there who are worried that this is just like a copy of just like Twitter threads, it's not. I think Jomny did a really good job kind of like fitting everything together, like fitting all of the philosophical and like existential and optimistic messages.
Yeah. So I guess let's start with what was your favorite storyline in the book?
Well, I actually really liked all of the storylines. They were all very relatable to me. I think the closest one that was relatable to me was the hedgehog.
The hedgehog and the Arthur otter.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
I mean, to give background, this is a hedgehog that wants to be an artist, but doesn't know how and just thinks they're not good enough. And they talk to an otter who is a self-proclaimed auteur. And just like creates art and is very, very highfalutin about it, but also very like real. Like he's just, like, he doesn't
care. Real. Yeah. There were like a couple quotes that I really liked in the hedgehog storyline. And one of them was the hedgehog saying, "I don't know how to make art. I'm so inspired by everything that I'm too afraid to do anything. I can't even appreciate any other art anymore because I am too sad that it will always be better than anything I will ever make. If art is supposed to inspire, then why does it make me feel like an empty room?" And I was just like, truth, man, truth.
Yeah, it's a very relatable feeling that like you have all this stuff you want to say. And I work for Collaboration, which is a nonprofit organization supporting up-and-coming Asian American artists, like musicians. And a lot of people we meet at auditions, they always start by apologizing or like preemptively saying, "Oh, this might not be the best," or "This might not be good." And it's like, you're already on stage. You're already about to show us your thing. Like, why are you getting, like, why are you like afraid of it, right?
I mean, I think that is like especially the case with people who come from marginalized backgrounds because we're always told that like there's only one spot, you know, there can only be one, so you have to be the best. And of course, like when you apply for like grants and fellowships and whatnot, like there's that like spirit of competition of like I need to beat out all of the other Asians and so like it's understandable about feeling apologetic about your work. And also I feel like when you're starting out making your craft, there's a character, I think it's the owl who kind of has imposter syndrome. No,
totally has imposter syndrome, yeah.
But I think it's definitely like the case with artists who are starting out who are just like, my art is not good, I have so much to learn, and everybody else is so much better than me, how can I ever measure up? And those are themes that are very relatable.
Yeah, with the owl is, you know, the owl is an owl, but doesn't know if they're really an owl because they've never met any other owls like them. And so they go around questioning whether or not they're actually an owl until they meet another owl who essentially has the same worries, like another owl who's not sure if they're an owl or not. And then the owl from the, and then the owl says, oh, so I'm not alone. So I'm not the only one that feels this way.
Yeah. I pulled out a quote that the owl says, and he says, I don't really know. Everybody calls me wise, and I have tried to learn very much about the world, but I don't feel very wise. And I know that owls are supposed to be wise, so then I don't feel very owly enough to be an owl. I feel like one day I'll meet another owl, and they'll take one look at me and say, oh, somebody made a mistake. You're not supposed to be an owl at all. Yeah, like I don't know. That hit me hard when I was reading that. I kind of felt that way for a lot of different things. Like, one, obviously, like, being a writer, I think it is, like, a prerequisite to, like, have imposter syndrome. It's just, like, my writing is not good, and, like, everyone's gonna hate me, and there's a lot of self-doubt because you're always alone, and you... And that's pretty much like most of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's the case in a lot of things. Like, even especially, like you said, again, for people from marginalized communities where you don't really see much of yourself represented in leadership or media or even like your superiors, right? And it's kind of the opposite of that is like the unearned confidence of that, like, privilege brings, right? You see a lot of people who embrace the fake it till you make it and don't feel bad about feeling like an imposter. They like manifest their confidence by just saying, not thinking that they shouldn't be here, but I deserve to be here, or whether or not I am qualified or not.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, there's a balance between the two. I think imposter syndrome is healthy because it kind of keeps you on your toes, but you can't let it be paralyzing.
Yeah.
Right. Like the idea that there will always be someone who knows more than you is a good thing to keep in mind because it keeps you from being like a egotistical like asshole.
I mean, like for me, like personally, before I went to college, I was studying visual arts. I was hoping to become an animator. And when I got into film school, I actually wasn't in like the arts program. I was in the writing program. Mm-hmm. And I remember like once I heard that I got accepted, I was like, oh shoot, I don't know how to write anything. So I need to like study up. I need to make sure that I do my homework, because once I get there, everyone's going to know that I'm like really bad.
Yeah.
And that I'm not going to measure up. And like, it's not just like with writing or art. It's like a universal thing that everyone feels at some point.
I mean, I felt that way before I started doing podcasts. I was like, I know the steps, but can I really call myself one?
It's funny how you mentioned that, because like when I announced that I wanted to form a book club for just Asian and Asian American books, and Marvin said like, oh, let's do a podcast on it. And I said yes, like within 2 or 3 minutes after seeing his Facebook comment. And then after I said yes, I like freaked out. I freaked out, and I'm just like, what did I just agree myself into? Like, I don't read, like, I'm not like a voracious reader. I read some books, but I don't read like 200 books every year, like some Goodreads, people. And I was like, I can't do it. I don't have like an English degree. Like I can't make good discussions. But then at a certain point, I was just like, well, who else is going to do it? Yeah. Like, out of all of my friends, I read the most. So.
And it's just 12 books a year.
I know, just 12 books a year. That really eased my conscience.
And one of them is a picture book, so it's all good.
Also, it helped that Marvin was just like, I haven't read a book since college. And I'm just like, okay, I am more qualified than
him. Well, I mean, that is perfectly the story of the hedgehog and the otter, right? The hedgehog is, they're stressing about whether or not they can be an artist, whether or not they can actually become one. And the author's just like the author says, creativity needs constructs, my dear. When constraints get tighter, you will find more opportunities to be creative, which is not helpful at all when someone is stressing out about it. But it's like, yeah.
The last thing I need is someone reminding me that deadlines are good. And I'm just like, no, it's not. No, it does not feel good.
But I've had those feelings of like, look at how easy people make it look, make like creating look. And here we are like trying to work hard at being this thing. But when it comes down to it, step one is calling your, like, is admitting that you are XYZ, right? We are podcasters. You are a writer. And once you admit that, you don't have to say I'm the best, but once you admit that's what you do, then it becomes easier to like justify all the work you're putting into.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact quote, but the author, he mentions that, like you have to work on your craft, like everything that is in your brain, like the vision inside your head, like you're trying to translate that. And it's okay if it doesn't come across perfectly in like the first or second attempt. Like as long as you work on your craft, someday that vision will be translated in the way that you want it to.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me of Ira Glass, because he had that he had that whole spiel about like working on your craft until it's good enough for your vision.
So my favorite part of the book is, and I guess this is like you can psychoanalyze me all you want, is all the dark humor in it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like with the pumpkin and the turkey, and like, there's a scene where the pumpkin's afraid, has a nightmare of being carved up. And then the next frame, like, it's a jack-o'-lantern. And, like, Jomny the alien sees a ghost coming out of the jack-o'-lantern and says, oh, no, a ghost. Don't haunt me. I don't want to be afraid. And the ghost says, look, I just died. This isn't about you.
Yeah, I really did like the character of nothing yeah. being like N capitalized. it was just like a weird thing to add as like to the cast of characters, but I really liked how Jomny executed it.
I liked how nothing was actually pretty needy too.
Yeah, like needy and wanting to get recognition.
Yeah,
and once he gets it, like everyone's just like bye. And there's that lovely quote about like, oh, everybody achieves greatness. It's just the size of the audience that is different. And yeah, like it was really striking. And it was also really funny whenever nothing popped up.
Yeah. And he's like, who's talking to me?
He's like, silence is the best music. How come no one agrees with my opinion? It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's hard to listen to.
And then there's also the turkey, who is like the opposite of the pumpkin, who seems to just like accept, like be accepting of his fate that he's gonna die, and he wants to give up his like last bits of wisdom, and then just disappears. And Johnny's like, "What happened to that turkey?" We ate him. That's what happened.
I had a picture of that. Hold on. I really like the theme of friendship in this book, because you see it in various forms. Like when Jomny the alien is meeting all of these animals and creatures, he's like, I want a friend. What is a friend? And he's always like constantly reaching out to these creatures. Yeah. And it really like the title is Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too.
Yeah.
And I think everyone at one point has felt like an alien, has felt like an outsider, because especially now with Instagram, where you're like scrolling through and you're like, wow, everybody's so beautiful and rich and like having a fun time. Why am I out here?
Yeah. I mean, even in the book, in the beginning, Jomny the alien is already an outcast amongst the other aliens. And it seems like friendship and it's a very cold society that he comes from. And one thing that I liked about the book is the overall message that once you experience something new, or once you when you meet new people and open yourself up to new experiences, you change. You don't be you like it's like every time the aliens come back to check in on Jomny, he's like a little bit different because he's thinking about different things. He's mm-hmm. exposed to different ideas, and it kind of reminds me of like coming home after being away, like to college or living abroad for a while, coming home and realizing that you're not the same person that left, you know, yeah. like a year or two ago.
Yeah. And I also liked how the idea of like sometimes you meet people in your life and you never see them again and it doesn't make them any less significant. Like you, like even when you lose friends, like you should be grateful for the time that you spent with them. Like yeah. you, there is a time for everything. And it also introduces that that idea of there's a time to be sad and there's a time to be happy. And you have to appreciate both in order to really be happy. And I also liked the homage to the Giving Tree. Because when he first meets the Giving Tree, he's just like, oh, you're my friend. I want to give something to you. And like the tree is like, nah, like I don't need anything. If anybody like if somebody kept asking me to like give things to them, then I don't think it's going to end well for me. And I don't know. It just like reminded me that some people, some friends might take the friendship in like a one-way direction of like how like what can you give me,
yeah,
and how can I benefit from you without like giving anything back, and how like in order to have a good friendship you have to be able to say no and have to be able to like understand your self-worth. Yeah, there's like a lot of themes in this book you can really go deep into.
Yeah. So many characters too, like the egg and like the baby tadpole and caterpillar, and like the anxiety of like, what am I going to be when I grow up? And you never find out. Do you ever find out?
No, you never find out.
But what it tries to be an egg. The egg tries to be a frog.
The egg is a frog. He decided that he's a frog. Like I could definitely relate to that one scene when the egg says, what if I never hatch? And what if I do hatch and it's the best moment of my life, but then I never get to hatch again? What if I want to hatch, but I also never hatch? Can I do both or neither? And then Jomny the alien says, why are you so worried? You're an egg. And then the egg says, that's not fair. You already know who you are. I've definitely had this conversation with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what I want to be. And like, I'm so lost with my life. And I'm like in my 20s. And they're just like, chill out. You're in your 20s. Like, you'll figure it out. And yeah. It's like, yeah, yeah. Like, it. A lot of the. So I checked Goodreads. I looked at the reviews that some people have left. And a lot of the criticism about this book have been like, like from very cynical people who are just like, oh, this is like a millennial book. Like everybody says like this is like a cutesy book, but it seemed like a little bit saccharine to me. And a lot of people complained.
I mean, there are some dark themes in there too.
Yeah, yeah. And like a lot of people who gave this book like one or two stars were saying, wow, this book is really badly spelt. And it was really taking away from the experience.
I mean, it's not missing the point.
And
if you care about spelling, you would have been out by the time you saw the title.
I know. but funny thing about the misspelling, obviously it's intentional because mm-hmm. it's consistent. I read in an interview that that the author, Jomny-san, or Johnny-san, mm-hmm. which is his real name, he actually made a style guide for his editors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he was just like, yeah, like I want it to look like typos when like people are in a rush and they click on like the adjacent key. And for the reason why he picked like letters like B to randomly appear in sentences, he was saying how it's kind of a letter that you don't really see often in sentences, and how sometimes in the English language, the B or the K, they're silent letters, but mm-hmm. they like make you slow down and process the word differently. And I was like, oh, that's like really meticulous of him to think about all of that. And what it makes sense because he's an architect, and you know, you have to be like meticulous with that. And you know, he's also a playwright, so obviously he yeah. thinks a lot about language.
It kind of annoys me that people went on to Goodreads to give like such cynical bad reviews, because like I can understand you didn't like the picture book, but you know, it's yeah. The book is also really funny. There's a lot of really great jokes. I remember the one where the apple falls out of the tree and rolls away.
It's like, you're not like, my real parent.
And the tree's like, I'm not even an apple tree. And an acorn falls out of it. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
I really did like the tree character because the tree also like gave really poignant advice to Jomny about like friends and about loneliness. And I thought it was really, really sad and like darkly funny how the tree got cut down at the yeah. end, and then they're like, no. and Jomny the alien says, the harder it is to say goodbye to somebody, the luckier you are to have met somebody you're going to miss. And literally a page later, the stump that he is he's like sitting on, it says, perhaps the only thing sadder than saying goodbye to a friend is knowing that they will never be the same as you, as who you remember them to be. And I just, it was like so poignant, but also like very, very funny.
I love that Jomny learns consequences. Like he learns about cause and effect throughout the book. Because like the frame before that is when he sees the beaver with like all the wood. He's like, wait a second.
I really like the beaver character too.
Yeah.
Because we all know that somebody who like is like always throwing themselves into work and they're never available whenever you like ask them to hang out with you.
Yeah. And they're busy. They're always busy. They don't know why they're busy. They just know they have to be busy all the time. Yeah.
Which goes to show, nothing is important. It's important to do nothing and to just kind of like sit in your own quiet space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also the dog that wags his tail so hard that he flew.
Yeah.
That was cute.
One of my favorite scenes in this book was when Jomny the alien comes across another alien and they're like, and they like,
oh, the
hug.
Yeti? The
yeah,
Yeti?
they hug, and I forgot the exact quote, but it was something about when two aliens meet, they feel at more home and more at home.
Yeah, when two aliens find each other in a strange place, it feels a little more like home.
Yeah. And that's definitely how I feel with a lot of my friends, because I think we're all weirdos. And like yeah. whenever we meet together and talk about anime and really geeky things, it's just like, yeah, like it feels like home.
Yeah, I mean, the bear, the Yeti becomes friends with the bear, who is another character of like someone who looks scary but means no harm. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I'm just trying to live my life and everyone thinks I'm this thing I'm not.
Yeah. And then like feeling that he's never going to find someone who will accept him and understand that there is a lot more underneath the surface.
Yeah.
Which goes to show with relationships, right?
There's the subplot about the birds who don't understand what the sun is.
Yeah. Eternal darkness. Like, I just like kept laughing. I don't know why it was so funny to me. Kept thinking that the sun was a lentil and they're like, yeah, don't eat it. Eternal darkness will come if you do.
I feel like that's a commentary on just how short-sighted people are, like how short-term people think, like everything's either the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world, and this they'll never be good again. And then like it's like whenever you hear someone complain about how this thing's the end of our civilization, or well, there's the end of America, or there's the end of this or that, it's like, no, they'll come back around. This thing isn't what you think it is.
I forgot which No, it was the turkey. The turkey that said, like, don't be sad about the past.
Yeah.
Be sad about the future.
I don't think that's what he said. He said, don't be sad about the past. Enjoy your sadness. One day even your sadness will be over too soon.
No, there was definitely...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He says, never be sad about the past. It has already happened and you cannot change it. Instead, focus on what truly matters, being sad about the future.
Yeah. I like burst out laughing when I read that part. I was just like, wow, truth. There's so many things to not look forward to in the future.
Especially for that turkey.
That's true. Maybe he'll get a pardon. You never know.
Oh, man. Like,
there were a lot of puns in this book, too. It took me the second read to get it. But the reason why the bees are always spelling out things is because they're spelling bees.
Oh. Yeah, the bees are another interesting character because they're, like, constantly was the first time they meet Jomny, and then the bear is like, what if bees are misunderstood, what if bees don't actually want to sting you, they just want to die. And then the bee goes into this big long like monologue
about how it's not that simple. Yeah. About like how they always have to consider their hives safety and protection because that's how much they love each other. They'd rather not die, but if that's what it takes to protect their friends, then that's what they're gonna do. And the bee questions the bear, being like, I bet you've never had a love like that. And I was like, well, savage. Okay. Well, I
mean, the last sentence is like, so you project it as fear and anger onto others, those who have that one thing you do not. You're so full of love, but all your love comes out of you in destructive ways. And the bear cries and the tears like, we am free. And there's a pun right there. He's like, you're right. The truth stings.
Yeah. I think this book also really teaches the reader about like being brave, you know, not just like there's like different things that you have to kind of face. Like there's different fears, like fears about people like not accepting who you are completely. There's a fear about like not being able to create the things that you want to. And there's also the fear of losing your friends, and also the fear of death, which briefly makes an appearance in this book. And also there's also like the fear of meeting people, like the turtle. The turtle has a lot of social anxiety.
Yeah.
And the snail, which is one of my favorite characters in this book, the snail's just like, oh, like, I have to be seen, otherwise I'll be stepped on. And I thought that was, like, a really cute sentiment. It's like, you can't always keep hiding. You always have to, like, you have to face your fears head on sometimes. It's a very optimistic message that I don't completely agree with, but... I'm an introvert, if you haven't been able to tell in these last couple of episodes.
I mean, the last frame is just him, like his last words are like, I'm just happy that I get to feel sad, which means like life is about experiences and life is about being like proactive in your own story and changing. And the fact that you can feel sad, like, it's like that really, really dumb high school yearbook quote, like, don't be sad that it's over, be happy that it happened. Yeah. And it's like...
I hated that quote. I would always, like, see it, like, floating around, like, Tumblr or whatever, and mm-hmm. I'm just like, no, like, let me be sad.
But it's, yeah, it's like, you know, just the fact that you're feeling sad about it means that it affects you in some way. Like, it was an important part of your life. And I thought it was really funny that he thought that all the animals he was meeting were humans.
And then the animals are like, all the humans are dead.
They actually foreshadowed that in the in one of the frames where he's trying to make friends with everybody. He's learned what friends mean. And he finds a skeleton. He goes, hi, friend. You used to be a baby.
And then the tree's like, maybe stay away from that friend. I really like the snail because the snail was like super optimistic about everything. Like the first time Jomny meets the snail goes, Jomny asks the snail like, "Oh, so who are you?" And then the snail says, "Oh, gee, well, nobody has ever asked me about myself. Well, I guess everybody tells me I am too small and too slow to make a difference in this world. But I am making a difference in my own world, and I hope that is enough." I was like, oh, it's like so happy. And
yeah, it's like a glass half full way of looking at things.
And like towards the end, like the snail built like a bouncy castle for Jomny the alien as like a farewell gift. And he's like, "Hey, I know you're sad, but I built you this bouncy castle. So are you going to take off your shoes or what?" And it's just like I am definitely not an optimistic person. And I definitely found those snippets that the snail was in to be like very cute. And like, it, I don't know, like this entire book was like an energy booster. it's like I'm a very pessimistic person. So like when I was reading this book, I was like, oh, I'm smiling. Like this is making me happy.
And I mean, it's cute. It's super cute. There's a lot of really good messages. And I think what is really great about it is you can relate to one or many of the animals because they're personifying things that I think everyone thinks about. You know, everyone thinks about death. Everyone thinks about whether or not they're worth anything. Everyone thinks about friendship and
being
existential
lonely.
Crises. And at the same time, he also inserts like little snippets like this, which is like, here's another way to look at things. Here's like a lot of what this book is giving you alternative takes on a lot of different issues. Like, here's one way to look at things, but here's another way to look at things.
Yeah. And I know that like a lot of people who did not like this book said that was a problem because they were like, oh, I would have preferred like a stronger storyline. I would have preferred more consequences. And I'm just like, but that's not what this book is about. This book is about, I don't know, like, I wouldn't say like putting a mirror in front of you, but it's definitely like a book that's not meant to be taken like so seriously. I read this book twice and I'm pretty sure that I will read it again in the near future, just when I'm feeling down. And I think that's kind of what this book is. It's not meant to be like some sweeping novel. Like, why did you buy this book thinking that it would be a sweeping novel?
Yeah, I mean, there's typos in the title. There were clues, people. And it was good to see that, like, there wasn't really, like, his message is, or what I think his message was, is, like, everything matters, right? Like, every interaction, every thought, the way you think, the way, like, you perceive things. Everyone is different, but everyone's perception is important.
Yeah. Everyone's problems are important. there was one quote I really liked, and it was when, the caterpillar was in its cocoon, and, Jomny's like, "What's wrong?" And I think it was the tadpole that says, "Sometimes a caterpillar stays too long in its cocoon and never becomes a butterfly." And I was like, man, that is some dark. Like, that is dark. And it was really nice that the egg never hatched while his friends turned into, like, a butterfly and like, a frog. And it's like, yeah, like, people succeed or mature at a different pace, and that's okay. You shouldn't be like super obsessed about it, because like your time will come, and like the important thing is like knowing yourself and not focusing so much on like who you're gonna become.
They never resolve that, which I understood why he did it, but would have been nice to see what he turned into.
Sometimes life doesn't give you answers, Marvin. I also really like the activity log in the beginning and the end of the book. There's a lot of like tweet size advice, not advice, but observations. I don't know if that's the right word either.
It's definitely a very clever book, and it's smart in its cuteness, I guess.
What did you think about the art? Because this is very different from, I would say, like, other graphic novels where, like, there are panels and and also, like, more details. Because, like, the art style is very minimalistic. And
yeah, it's like doodles and very cutesy. I didn't mind it. It didn't, I thought it did what it was there to do, which is to illustrate the different scenes. And I liked how, like, even though it was minimalistic and like simple, he was still able to like convey a lot of emotion and a lot of storytelling through the pages. And what's interesting is, even though it's very simple, there are certain panels where a lot is going on. It was really fun to explore the different things that he was including, like the different asides and the different like juxtapositions of everything.
It really, I mean, it's weird to say this, but it almost looked cinematic the way he like arranged the pages, you know, mm-hmm. like because like you'll like flip a page and then like there would be like the punchline and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Or like it would be like the same scene, but he would just like change the perspectives just like a little bit. And
yeah,
like that was really nice as well. And I really loved his use of font because
yeah.
like the auteur had a really fancy font.
Yeah.
And like most of the book is kind of written in this weird like
Comic Sans looking. Yeah.
Like very like rustic, like it looks like someone wrote like the lines in the book with their own handwriting.
Yeah, and you can like the different fonts also like they correspond with like the voices of the animals in your head. Like the Yeti has a very like bombastic, scraggly, like all caps voice, and the bees are like kind of more tiny.
Yeah, like tiny. And I was right, they do spell stuff. Like hello, hello. It's a spelling bee. And I also really like that it was black and white and it wasn't like this like super colorful book, because otherwise I feel like the messages in the book would have kind of been like washed out. And like, because it's black and white, I feel like it appeals more to adults. I mean, children can read this book as well, but
yeah.
I don't know. Something about, like, its simplicity really made all the lines in the book pop out more.
Yeah.
And I really like the use of space and
yeah, our group members all, like, the ones who commented on our thread all enjoyed, like, the innocence and the simplicity of the graphic novel. They thought it added a lot to the story. David, who is a booktuber, is that the correct term? He also caught the Giving Tree call out. I didn't catch it because I'd never read it.
You should read it. Shel Silverstein is like probably one of my favorite poets, and I don't really read a lot of poetry.
I only read books by Asian American authors because of this.
Well, Jomny's son is Canadian. So.
I am also Canadian, yes. So I'm going to make that exception.
Well, we said Asian and Asian American, so he fits under the Asian umbrella.
I mean, the Asian diaspora. Yeah. it looks like most people really like the standout character seemed to be the porcupine. Or the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. which is like, you know, it's especially I think with, like you said, within the Asian American community, having this idea that like everyone else is doing this thing better than me is kind of like the anxiety that we live with day to day and everything we do, even if we go into like the traditional fields, right? Because this is a stereotype, but we're always being compared to other people. depending on your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually, like, another family member.
Or a cousin.
Or a cousin. Or it's like, oh, your cousin got into Harvard, and they play, like, five different instruments, and it's just like... I'm pretty sure my cousin is not that accomplished, and it's just like a narrative that Asian parents just give their kids.
This is why I'm glad. I'm kind of glad my family didn't have like a group of other Asian parents to like compare to their kids. Just my mom's like small group of friends in the States. So I didn't really have a lot of that. It was more family comparisons on my end.
I'm really glad that we read this book for February.
Yeah.
Because, like, not only is it very short, but...
Yeah, I finished it in, like, halfway through the month, which is unheard of. I usually finish it the night before we have to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Jomny Sun for writing and drawing such a beautiful book.
I also really like your tweets.
The haters can go... hate themselves, because this book is A+ in my book. Any last thoughts? I think we pretty much gushed about the book enough that people...
I'm sorry if it was a lot of gushing and not really lot of analysis to it, but...
I think we did a good job on analyzing the key themes, or this book is all about just picking your favorite lines and quotes and how they affect you on this certain day, and it's really great to... I'm glad to have this book in my bookshelf to just, you know, pick up and read when I'm having a XYZ day and I just want to like have some perspective.
Yeah.
And on that note, I guess that'll do it for discussion. Hopefully you all had a good time listening to us reminisce about our favorite moments of the book. If you have your own favorite moment, your favorite line, your favorite frame or page, please sound off on our Goodreads forum. We have a thread going about the February Book Club pick. And now that we have this podcast out, we'd love to hear what you thought about Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien 2.
With that said, our March pick is What Lies Between Us by Naomi Munawira. And it's a crime fiction novel. I believe like it begins with a woman who is in prison, and she kind of like reminisces about her past. Oh. So it starts off very interestingly, and I'm really curious as to what other people think about it. I think the author is also Sri Lankan, so that's also like pretty great. I don't want us to keep reading just East Asian authors, although we have read like South and Southeast Asian authors as well in the past, but definitely always looking to diversify our own reading list.
I'm excited to read is this our second or third crime novel? I think it's our second one.
It's right? Our second one.
Yeah, first one was Suspect X.
Sometimes it's really hard for me to remember what genres we have read because I'm always reading my own stuff. And it's just like, oh, I'm reading like two other crime novels right now. So it's like, oh, yeah, we haven't read a crime novel in book club for a while. And
I'm excited and hope you guys all are too. So and as always, we also want to give you heads up about our April book club pick. Rira, what are we reading for April?
For April, we will be reading another nonfiction book. We haven't read a nonfiction book in a while, and it's One Day We'll All Be Dead and None of This Will Matter by Scotchy Cole.
Is that by the turkey? The turkey from Jomny's book?
I was like, Turkey? What? Like, Turkish author? No.
The Fatalistic Turkey.
No. Scotchy Cole is, I think she's like one of the BuzzFeed producers. And I've seen this book kind of float around in the Goodreads forums for a while now. I heard it's super funny, and it's pretty much like a collection of essays about her growing up as like a daughter of immigrants, and also just like her like quirky observations about the entertainment industry. So it'll be fun to to read another nonfiction book, because we haven't done that in a while.
Great. And as always, please join our Goodreads forum to interact with us and to chat about your favorite books, whether it's a book club pick from Books and Boba or your own favorite Asian American authored books. We always love to hear from you, and it's always great to see the book. It's always great to see the Goodreads group grow. So if you are new to the book club, please introduce yourself in the welcome thread. We'd love to learn more about our listeners, our members, and what you guys are up to.
Yeah. And if you like this episode or any other episodes that we've recorded, please leave us a review or rating on iTunes. If you did not like this episode, please leave a 5-star rating and write your complaint.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Books and Bulba. Stay tuned for more episodes coming out in March. Again, we're going to go over our March new releases and book news in our mid-March episode. And we're going to try to get an interview or two from authors and members of the publishing world for you as well. So lots of cool stuff to look forward to in the month of March. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys. This episode of Books and Bulba was hosted by Marvin Yue and Riva Yu and edited by Marvin Yue. Books and Bulba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from our Asian American community. If you like Books and Bulba, you might also want to check out the Collabcast, a weekly podcast about pop culture and the creative life from an Asian American perspective, and the official podcast of the collaboration movement. You can find the Collabcast and all the other great shows of the collective by going to the website www.podcastpotluck.com.